Okay, today we plan to go through Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Good news. Now, it's great to hear good news. Isn't it wonderful when you hear good news? There's a lot of bad news out there, and it's great to hear good news. For example, the end of a war, or a wedding is coming, or a baby is coming. Any of those. It's like, oh, that's good. That's good. So in today's passage, we hear the best of news. And may it be an encouragement to us as far as the incredible news that we see in these two verses. Now, Luke is a historian, and he has just documented the birth of Christ. Jesus has been born. He's been laid in a manger, which is a feeding trough. Come to our farm, and you can see, actually, we don't have much in the way of feeding troughs right now, but something that could sort of double for it. Since there was no room for him in the inn, he was basically out and about, and they end up in a manger, feeding trough. So in today's passage, angels appear to lowly shepherds. It's interesting how God chooses to reveal his plan and declare it to very humble and lowly shepherds, not the richest and the most famous and the most powerful people, but very humble shepherds. And he gives them the good news, the best of news, in the form of mind-blowing declarations. In these two verses, there are seven incredible declarations that we will focus in on. And what a treat. So please stand. We're going to pray, then we'll read the passage, and then we'll go through it. Father, we thank you for, Lord, this passage we're about to read. Thank you, Lord, for the incredible, great news that you've given us in your scriptures, and Lord, the reality of your son Jesus being offered to lost humanity. And we just thank you, Lord, for the incredible, incredible, profound reality of God the Son taking on humanity, taking on Lord, flesh, and in the form of a baby. And we just thank you so much for bringing him and for what his birth, his life, and his death all meant and means to each one of us. We pray for clarity of thought as we go through these two verses and help us to really focus in on how special Christmas is. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Verse 10, then the angel said to them, so to the shepherds, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Please be seated. So a number of declarations, seven we're focusing in on. The first one is there is no need to fear. Verse 10, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. You know, it's interesting that he's basically saying, hey, shepherds, don't be afraid. That's what the angel or angels are saying, or the angel is saying, don't be afraid. And so there's a context there. But it's interesting, there's a deeper truth, and that is that Jesus coming to planet Earth and his mission, which will be accomplished, it ultimately deals with our deepest fears. Jesus addresses our ultimate fear. What's the ultimate fear? It is of death followed by judgment. And Jesus addresses that ultimate fear because now our death as a believer, if someone's a believer in Christ, our death is a promotion. We're going to be getting a new body. We'll be with the Lord forever. We have incredible promises of God. In some ways, we look forward to it. It's like, isn't that something? Death is seen as going to sleep, shall we say. And we look forward to the new bodies. We look forward to being with Christ forever. And we look forward to seeing him face to face. And so death itself is a promotion. And judgment is special. The judgment seat of Christ, which is not the great white throne judgment, the judgment seat of Christ is where believers go, and they come before Jesus, and He rewards us for the things we've done unto him. You might say, well, what about the things I haven't done unto him? It's like, those burn up. They burn up. You don't burn up, but they burn up. But you are actually spared. And the things we've done unto the Lord, the cups of cold water in the name of Christ, all those things, there's eternal reward for that. And it's Jesus saying, this is what you did. At a time of temptation, you withstood. Or at a major crossroads, you sought me for wisdom as to what path will bring you the most glory. Just time and time again, the different ways that we serve, love shown for those around us and those God has placed in our path, and giving up sort of our own freedom, shall we say, at times for the betterment of someone else and for ultimately the God's glory. So that's the judgment seat of Christ. Different from the great white throne judgment, unbelievers come before Jesus at the great white throne judgment, and that's a horrific scene because unbelievers are judged according to their works, which show or prove that they had no faith, and then it's depart from me. It's just a sad, sad thing. The lake of fire is not a place we want anyone to go to. But Jesus addresses our ultimate fear if someone's come to faith in Christ, if we've confessed him with our mouth, if we believe that God raised him from the dead, if we are living for him, he's our Savior and he's our Lord, and it's really true and we've been born again, then we have nothing to fear. Absolutely nothing to fear. So very profound words in verse 10. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Declaration number two. Seven declarations. Declaration number two, Jesus brings joy. Also in verse 10, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. So in other words, good news, very good news, of great joy. And Jesus himself, he brings us incredible joy. We have a relationship with God the Father and Jesus, who is the Son of God, or God the Son, with the Holy Spirit, who indwells a believer, and we're commanded to be filled and ever filled with the Holy Spirit. There's relationship, and a estranged relationship with God, it's been mended, and then we know him, and he indwells us. What an amazing thing, and that brings incredible joy. There's nothing like being alone to take away joy, and yet God himself has bridged the gap, and he has made it possible for us to know him in a very personal and intimate way. So, incredible joy that's available to us as believers. Our sins are forgiven. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit, a power we did not have before, to be able to say no to sin and to be able to get up again. He convicts us when we mess up, and we get up again and we ask for forgiveness and we receive it. We say, Lord, teach me, forgive me, cleanse me, teach me. I want to get up. I want to become more like Jesus. And there's incredible joy in that relationship. Incredible joy. So that's declaration number two. Declaration number three. Jesus is offered to all. Also in verse 10, which will be to all people. So for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. So all people means all people. In other words, to every race, to every nation, people from any nation, and every nation, are offered wonderful faith in Christ. So every race, I mean, it's really cool that there's been so many issues regarding race and racial tension. Jesus is ultimately the solver of that problem. He's offered to everyone, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, you name it, he's offered to us. And that can bring reconciliation because we're all the same. Black lives do matter, and white lives matter, and Hispanic lives matter, and Asian lives matter. They all matter because what's the price tag that God was willing to pay for each person? The blood of his son, the life of his son. And so every person is dear and really, really matters. We're not to escalate one race over the others. We are to celebrate the fact that he's offered to everybody. So every race, every nation, male, female, rich, poor, you name it, whatever the situation is, he's offered to everybody. And so we may see someone in the workplace or someone in our family and just say, that person's unreachable, or that person seems so intimidating. If someone met me in high school, toward the end of high school, they would have said, Dave has no chance of becoming a believer. There's no chance. This guy who does crazy things like driving over people's lawns and rebelling and being disrespectful to authority. It's like, this guy, there's no way. He is way too far gone. But for a work of God, that would have been true. But God is awesome. So everyone we meet, each person, there's a potential for the Holy Spirit to knock that person off his or her horse and to bring that person to faith in Jesus Christ. So declaration number three, Jesus is offered to all. Declaration number four, it's all about a baby. It's all about a baby. Verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David. So the good news has to do with a baby. And it's born to us. It's given for us this day in the city of David. That would be Bethlehem. And it's God himself broke into human history. And this really took place. A baby was born, placed in the manger, placed in that feeding trough in the city of Bethlehem. A census was taking place, and that's where they were at, the city of Bethlehem, or the city of David, which is Bethlehem. And Jesus is the key, the fact that he was born, the fact that he lived, the fact that God himself, divine, God the Son, he took on humanity. And the two somehow came together. There's all sorts of fancy terms for the hypostatic union. It's like he's divine and he's human. It's like, just a second, is he divine? Yeah, he is. Is he human? Well, yeah, he is. And he's both and. How can he be both? I don't know, but he's both. I don't understand it. He's God and he's human. He's man. And as God, he was able to conquer sin. He never sinned once. He was offered all sorts of sins, all sorts of temptations, but he never sinned once. As man, he could pay for humanity's problems. He could pay the price tag for our sin. And so the whole deal is he entered into humanity and entered into time, space, became a person historically. It's proven historically, like this person did exist. People are trying to deny that. They try to say, well, maybe he didn't exist. Or maybe he didn't say the things he said. Boy, there's four gospels written from different people or by different people, different perspectives. There's a number of books of the Bible, 66 books in all. The Old Testament books point forward to the coming Messiah. The New Testament books in some ways point back to Jesus and what he's done. And it's all about Jesus entering into the human condition. So that's declaration number four. It's all about a baby. Declaration number five, Jesus is Savior. He is Savior. So for there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior. So Jesus saves us from our sins. It's as simple as that. There's no other person. There's no other name. There's no religious system. There's no one else. There's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. He saves us from our sins. Our part is to receive him, to repent of our sins and say, Lord, okay, I sure messed up my life. Now I give myself to you. Take me, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and take me, and I want to serve you now with everything I have. So he saves us from our sin. We were under the death penalty, each one of us. We were under the death penalty before a holy God. Each one of us are born into a self-centered bent. And so each one of us have a lack of holiness in our lives. And so we were born under the death penalty because God himself, who's perfectly holy, cannot accept unholiness, lack of perfection into heaven with him as far as through all of eternity. But Jesus paid the price. He paid the incredible price for each one of us. He had no sin in him at all. So when he went to the cross, he was able to die in our place. He took the death penalty, the lethal injection. He took it in our place. And because of that, there was a transaction that took place, and our sins were paid for. They were paid for. Muhammad never did that. No other religious leader did that. No one took care of the sin problem. They just put together a system of, here's how you do it, here's good things you do, here's the things you're supposed to do, the things you're not supposed to do. And because of that, God will sort of look the other way as far as your sins, and he'll accept you. And it's like, it doesn't work. It doesn't deal with the sin problem. It doesn't have a view of God as holy, and he cannot have sin with him in eternity. Well, our sins have been paid for. It's like, just a second, I still got sins in my life, sins of the flesh. Yes, but they will drop off. When we have the new bodies, we will no longer have sins of the flesh at all. So the full penalty of our past sins, our current sins, and our future sins have all been paid for in full. And it's all covered. And so the penalty of sin, it's been paid for. The power of sin has been broken, because since the penalty of sin has been paid for, then the Holy Spirit can indwell our heart. Our spirits are regenerated, and the Holy Spirit dwells with our regenerated and perfected spirit. We still have the flesh, but the perfected spirit, that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. And then we look forward even to the presence of sin being eradicated when we're with the Lord. Not on this side of eternity, as far as the presence of sin being eradicated, but we look forward to that eternal state and his return before that. So, declaration number five, Jesus is Savior. He paid the price. Declaration number six, Jesus is the Christ. So, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ. Christ means anointed one. It's actually not his last name. It's a title. It means anointed one. He is the promised Messiah. And there's promise after promise given in the Old Testament. There's going to be a Messiah who comes. There's going to be one who comes. Even in Genesis 3, with the fall of humanity, that tragic day when humanity said, I'm going to give in to temptation. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm going to eat of that fruit. Well, it turns out at that point, there are incredible consequences. Turns out that day they died spiritually, and they began to die physically. So death entered into the human condition. But at the same time, there was a promise given that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. The seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. So when God himself was addressing the serpent, basically Satan in the form of a serpent, and he said, the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. Who is that seed of the woman? Of course, it's Jesus. The rest of the Old Testament, who is the seed of the woman? And you see this royal line, the scarlet thread, all the way up to Christ, from Adam all the way to Jesus Christ. And he's the seed of the woman who will crush the head of the serpent. That's what took place on the cross. He crushed the head of the serpent by bringing an end to the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and ultimately the presence of sin in our lives. And so wonderful as far as how he sort of rolled that out. He's the promised Messiah. And it was foreseen. And then prophet after prophet came and foretold that there will be one who comes, who will heal the brokenhearted, and he'll cause the lame to be able to walk, and just various things that Jesus will do. And so Jesus, he is our anointed one. He is our promised Messiah. That's number six. He is Christ. And then number seven, final declaration, Jesus is Lord. So if there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So Jesus is Lord. Lord means owner, controller, benevolent dictator. It means he's boss. It means he's the one in charge of our lives. So when someone says, well, this is what I'm going to do with my life, it's like, well, how about submitting it to the Lord and making sure that by God's grace, and if it's God's will, this is what I plan to do. And so He is to be in charge of everything, the decisions we make, the moral decisions, the practical decisions, relational decisions. He is to be Lord. He's to be owner. He's to be controller of all of that. He's our boss. We're to look to follow him. Major financial decisions, major moral crossroads. He is to be Lord of all of that. Every part of our lives, our relationships, our thoughts, the words we speak, and everything about our lives. He is to be Lord. We're to be submitting our lives to him. So he's Savior. He rose from the dead. He's alive now, and he's our Lord. So everything we wrestle with, everything we are in some ways tormented by or challenged by, he is to be Lord of every experience we have. And he can bring us through even the most painful of chapters. And he can guide us, and he can give us grace. And he is real. And he is Lord. And so when we take a look at, this is what I'm going to do with my time. It's like, well, is that going to bring your Lord the most glory? I want to bring him the most glory with my time. Or these are the words I'm going to speak. It's like, are these the words that will bring Jesus the most glory? Because he's Lord. He's to be Lord of our words. This is the relationship I'm going to kindle. It's like, is he Lord of that relationship? Is that something that there's a sense of him guiding in that way? So he's to be Lord of all we do. It's like saying, well, we might say, well, how does he lead? Well, often he leads through the Word of God. He helps purify our motives. He helps give us a sense of direction. And yet, often the details, like where am I going to go to college, they're not in Scripture. And so it's like, what do I do with that? Well, he gives us wisdom to make decisions. And he promises us wisdom. If we ask him for wisdom, he will give us wisdom, according to James chapter 1. And so in all these things, we say, Lord, guide me. And the Holy Spirit who indwells us, there's a sense of, he has a way of saying, I don't like the path you're taking. And it's when he's grieved, he speaks to us and says, don't do it. You're about to do something really stupid. Don't do it. And I'm grieved inside of you. And there's this sense of heaviness inside. Like, I don't have a freedom to do that which I'm going to try to do. I'm planning on doing. And he has a way of saying, I'm not going to let you do it. Or I'm going to speak to you. You may insist on doing it, but I'm going to sort of let you know that it's not a pleasing path. And so the Holy Spirit has a way of being grieved, also has a way of giving us incredible supernatural peace. Like, I've got a peace about this direction. It's a radical direction. It's like, whoa, it's like really, really a challenging direction, yet I've got a peace about it, an incredible peace. And the Holy Spirit's the one who gives us that peace. We receive it. He offers it, and we receive it. And so Jesus is Lord. He is Lord, and that's declaration number 7. So 7 declarations that we looked at. The best of news, incredible news, that there's no need to fear. There's absolutely no need to fear at all. He deals with our ultimate fears, that Jesus brings joy, incredible joy, abundant joy, amazing joy that he offers us, and that Jesus is offered to all. So everyone we meet, it's like there's an offer given to that person. May we be part of that process as far as offering Jesus to those we come in contact with. Also, declaration number 4, it's all about the baby. He entered into humanity. He took on humanity, a babe in the manger and in the city of David. And so what an amazing thing he did. Declaration number 5, that Jesus is Savior. He saved us from our sins. Incredible salvation that we have. There's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Declaration number 6, that Jesus is the Christ. He's the anointed one, the promised Messiah. All of Scripture points to him, looks forward to him, looks back upon him. It all focuses in on Jesus. And then declaration number 7, Jesus is Lord. He is our owner, our controller, our benevolent dictator. He is our boss. He's the one to be, bless you, he's the one to be in charge of our lives. So we looked at different things that are good news, like the end of war and a wedding and a baby is coming. So let's reflect just for a second. The end of war. Well, it turns out Jesus coming marks also the end of a war. The war between God and man, where there's enmity between us and between God, our creator. It's like, I want to do it this way. Or you said this is wrong. I don't want to abide by that. I'm going to declare my own right and wrong. And you see that all the time. This is what I think is right. And you need to accept and even affirm what I think is right. It's like, really? It's like, And so the end of war between God and man for those who surrender, for those who submit. So the best of news. Also, a wedding is great news. Well, this really marks the foreshadowing of a wedding between Christ and the church. The church is every genuine believer worldwide through all of history. And Christ marries the church. We're his bride. We're part of his bride. Beautiful bride becoming more and more beautiful as we purpose to become more and more like Jesus Christ. So, end of war, a wedding, also a baby is coming. That's always great news. It's like, hey, a baby's coming. Oh, it's a boy or a girl or whatever. And it's like, that's when's it going to be? What's the due date? It's always great news. And it's all made possible by the Christ child. He is the ultimate baby who came. And yeah, Mary, she wasn't even married. She was betrothed at that time. She wasn't officially married yet. They had not had intimacy relations. Others, I'm sure, if the technology of today had been there at the time, it's like, you need to abort this baby. This is really a nuisance to your life. What about your career? What about this? What about that? And it's like, this is the Christ child. And it's like, I'm so glad that this child came, because it affects each one of us, big time, each one of us. So personal application regarding each one of these declarations. Personal application regarding declaration number 1, that there's no need to fear. Are you giving in to fear at all? Do you find yourself giving in to fear? If so, remember, Jesus dealt with the ultimate fear. And if he can deal with the ultimate fear, he can deal with the lesser fears. I could lose my job, or I don't know what, how are we going to pay the bills, or whatever the fear is, whatever the worry is, what's going to happen? What should I do? It's like, there's no need to fear. There's no need to give in to fear, because he can guide us through. Regarding declaration number 2, Jesus brings joy. Are you experiencing joy? The joy of the risen Christ. Are you experiencing wonderful joy? Is anything robbing you of joy? Is there anything robbing your joy this morning? Because don't let it. Don't let it rob you of joy. Regarding declaration number 3, Jesus is offered to all. Is there someone in your life who seems unreachable? And just as God leads, don't give up. As God leads, don't give up. Keep planting seeds. Keep praying. Keep living by example. Then declaration number 4, it's all about a baby. Have you thanked Jesus for taking on humanity? Have you thanked him sincerely for giving up the display of his splendor and taking on humanity and deciding to go into not the richest of settings, in fact, a very poor setting, and not what you'd see as a royal birth, and yet it was still special. In fact, very, very special. So if you thank Jesus for taking on humanity. Regarding declaration number 5, Jesus is Savior. Have you experienced salvation? For anyone who's listening, have you experienced salvation? Have you received Jesus Christ into your heart, confessing your sins, repenting or turning from your sins? Have you experienced salvation? Are you letting others know that Jesus is Savior? Maybe there's someone who God wants to use you to reach or help reach and to lay out the basic gospel message. Maybe it's an unlikely person. who you would think, man, that person never would be interested in Jesus. And yet sometimes God can use us in unlikely situations, unlikely people, and he can use us to do some very amazing things. And then declaration number 6, that Jesus is the Christ. Are you convinced that he is the promised Messiah and that he's the only one? He's the only true Christ. We're in 1 John right now, normally for our Sunday teachings right now, and there are many false Christs, antichrists instead of Christ who have come. There will be an ultimate false Christ who will come, and the world is looking a little bit more and more ripe for that all the time. As far as the setting, there's it looks like it's ripening as far as our situation. So Jesus is the Christ. Are you convinced that he's the promised Messiah? And then regarding declaration number 7, that Jesus is Lord. Is Jesus your Lord? Is he Lord of your thoughts? Is he Lord of your decisions? Is he Lord of your relationships? Is he Lord of your career? Is he Lord of every aspect of your life? Are you submitting your life to his lordship? Are you saying, are you placing yourself under him and submitting every aspect of your life to his lordship? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time in your word, and thank you, Lord, for the best of news, the very good news, the good tidings of great joy, Lord, that you have made available to all people. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the Savior and that you are the Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for the way you come in and change people's lives. And you took us, each one of us, who were at war with you personally, and you brought us through a process where we surrender to you, and a peace treaty, finally giving up as far as control of our lives and saying, Lord, you are now boss. I'm living for you and you alone. I'm living for you completely. Every relationship I have, I want to cultivate for your glory. And every decision I make, I want it to be for you. So, Lord, help us to put wheels on that, or to walk this out in terms of the fact that you are Lord. In every aspect of our lives, you are Lord. Lord, for anyone who is yet to believe, who is listening, could be in this country, could be in a different country, someone is listening to this message, I pray, Father, that he or she would, Lord, find room in the inn of his heart to receive you. Lord, that you would bring that person to repentance, to salvation, to faith. And Lord, that a person would desire you and desire his or her sins to be forgiven and would want to have a relationship with the one who created him. I thank you, Lord, for the way that you offer yourself so wonderfully to each one of us. Thank you for this time and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.